world is changing, and so fast. Lockdown is finally easing only a bit, so a few things are returning to normal, and we're not sure when that will change. And we're navigating through such uncharted waters. I've been so struck by the fact that there's no person or situation you can go to and find out what they did in this situation. It's all completely new. And, you know, even as Christians, there isn't any church we could ring up and say, what did you do in this situation? Because we're all in it, every single person. And I don't know about you, the emotions or feelings have probably been going up and down like a roller coaster. Very typical. We go through this sort of sense of loss and grief, and then we rebuild, and then we go back down again and come back again. Very, very typical. But right at the beginning of the crisis, I felt God speak to me and remind me of a journey, a difficult journey, but not difficult in the way this virus is. But it reminded me of a journey I used to do as a child. And it was actually a railway tunnel. And that tunnel was near where I lived as a boy. And it was on the train. I used to take a train from a place called Shipley. That's in Yorkshire. And it used to go to Leeds. And it went through a tunnel called Thackley Tunnel. And it was very strange. God reminded me of this time I used to go through this tunnel. It was about a mile long. And you see, if you've ever been through a railway tunnel, that's quite long. But as a lad, I used to go to Leeds, and I used to fight my brother to sit on the front seat of the train, because in those days, you could look out the front of the train. You can't do now. Health and safety would never allow it. So I used to fight my brother so I could sit and watch when we went through this tunnel. And I was always excited about it, to see, oh, we're going to go through Thackley Tunnel. And I just felt God remind me of this tunnel, just as we were starting to go through the crisis, and each step as we go through. And it's really interesting, as the train used to go along, used to then enter the tunnel, and you'd just go from daylight, bright sunshine often, because it was Yorkshire, of course, and you just go into a completely dark place. And you can see the tunnel on this picture. And after a few seconds, you sort of become, it's slightly troubling, because you suddenly realize you can't see anything. You're actually going into darkness. It's completely black. If you're lucky, you can just about see a couple of rails in front of you, but you can't see anything else. And then you slowly become more accustomed to the dark. You become aware of the light in the carriage. And where I used to be always aware then suddenly of people around me. But suddenly you realize this is quite a dark place. And I really felt when the crisis started, I did feel quite troubled and fearful. There was no end in sight. Nothing was familiar. I'm sure you all felt that. These sort of things, you know, what was happening in the country and around us, none of it was familiar. The lockdown and the news that was unexpected and troubling. And if you're like me, I struggled to pray. I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time in prayer. My first reaction was to try and get used to what was now happening. And I did ask questions, and fear came very quickly. Where is God in this? But I felt God remind me, just as you go into that tunnel, that change and sudden darkness, we need to know two things. And these two things are, firstly, we need to know the truth that God is with us. And we also need to trust him when we can't see ahead. This is an amazing truth that God is with us. And it reminds me always of Psalm 23. The truth is, God is with us even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And that amazing scripture that says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Note it says, you are with me. It's his presence that really matters. He does not promise to remove trials or challenges or dark periods, but he does promise. And sometimes he does remove those things, by the way, but he doesn't promise every time. But he does promise every time that he is with us. And it's such an important truth to know God is with us. That's the first step when we're going through difficulties and trials. But the second one is this thing about trusting when you can't see your way ahead. You know, as you entered that tunnel, when I used to enter it, your ears popped because the air pressure was different and the noise of the train came very loud. But the key thing is you just couldn't see anything. It was black in front of you. But it's at that moment you now trust the train driver that he actually knows what he's doing. He's been through the tunnel many times before. And as the, you know, your senses settle a little, you become aware the train driver's been here before. And this is such an important thing to get hold of in this situation. Our train driver, he's been here before. We must be able to take confidence and comfort that Jesus has been through this before, and he knows what it's like. You know, the amazing truth is when Jesus stepped into human history, that history that he stepped into, the moment he stepped into that, the history wasn't good. It was a terribly unsettling time in Palestine and that time history. It wasn't a nice time. There was unsettled period. There was a massive injustice going on in the Roman government. There was a massive oppression of people, being beaten up, being crushed. There was plagues. There was diseases. There was leprosy, a disease that was spreading all around. And there was ugly religion at the same time as well. So even if you did find a way out of some of those things, you ended up in a religious place, which was ugly. But Jesus came right into that situation. He demonstrated, not only did he just arrive, you know, he came in, but he then demonstrated how to live in a world where we don't have full control over events and situations. He actually demonstrated how to live when you don't have control. And he didn't just survive, he thrived. So we do know, our train driver knows this, and he's been there before. And we must take comfort and confidence that Jesus does know and knows what it's like. So those are the first two things. But as the tunnel continues, and Thackley Tunnel does this, it just continues in darkness. There's nothing. You can't even see the end of the tunnel or anything. And you do begin to become uneasy. It was strange. Even though you knew the tunnel was there and the rails were there, it was just so black and nothing you could see. You start to get a little worried. What if there was something blocking the tunnel ahead you can't see? And there was a sense where you could feel slightly out of control. And when is this going to end? And you can't see your way through. So there's something else we need to know at this point. And it is that God is bigger than all of these problems. And that there is going to be an end to this. And an end to this crisis, but there will be an end. It's those two truths, those two important things, that God is actually bigger than these problems, but also there will be an end. when we're in this situation, this coronavirus situation, we cannot control it. Our abilities, our will, our brain power, our knowledge, it just cannot control it. It is out. There is elements of it which are utterly outside of us. Even the government, obviously, making decisions as well, but also just the actual whole situation we're in. And there's a great story in the New Testament for like this for the disciples when they hit something that was totally out of control, of their control. And it's when they went out on the lake and in a storm, and it's in Mark 4. And Jesus told the disciples that we're going to go out. He was going to go across the lake. He said to them, "Oh, we're going to go across the lake today." And they all started out, and Jesus, being Jesus, went to sleep in the back of the ship called the stern. And then a huge storm, and we know this story well, the huge storm arrives and the boat begins to sink. And they panic. The disciples, bear this in mind, the disciples were fishermen. They knew how to handle boats, but they started to panic. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus arose, rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." And there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" And in some translations, he says, "Where is your faith?" And they were therefore in more fear because they said, "Who is this? Who can this be? Even the wind and waves obey him." And then at the end of the story, it just says one sentence, "And they came to the other side of the lake." This is a moment in the disciples' life where they are out of control. They couldn't control their ideas, their skills, their experience, their knowledge of the Bible, everything, whatever. It would run out. And they thought they were going to die. And they had tried, clearly tried things. But the situation had moved out of their control, beyond their abilities. I just wonder if their faith was connected to their ability to solve their problems, the situation they're in. They were skilled fishermen, of course. And during this time of COVID-19, we are not in control. There are many things outside of it, outside of our control. And the whole world is battling. We can't just throw money at it. We can't call someone and say, "How did you get through this?" There's no previous experience, as I said earlier. And actually, nothing really works right now except extreme measures, which we have just gone through. This is a huge test of our faith. And I think we're, to be honest, we are much more frail and fragile than we think. But I wonder if our faith is often connected to some things that we can control, i.e. we can predict the outcome, therefore we have faith. What would our faith look like? And what would our faith look like when we can't predict the outcome? And we're in a situation where we can't control it. So what did the disciples do? Well, they looked at the back of the boat and they looked at Jesus and they said, "Hey, you've got to wake up." There was no faith in it. It was shake. It was anger, actually. Why can't you see this? But Jesus asked them a question after bringing peace to the situation. He said, "Where is your faith? How is it you have no faith?" I feel this moment is a really important time to do a bit of a soul check. Is your faith in things you can control? Is it in that you know you can fix something or stop something? It's okay to be scared, by the way. That's reality. But let the question of Jesus in this story, "Where is your faith?" rest with you. Because this is such an important time to learn that incredible truth that we can't control everything. We go to the one who can. thing I say here is that we need to know there's an end to this crisis. And it's really important to know in the story that Jesus actually does get the boat to the other side of the lake. He said to them, we're going to the other side of the lake. And they did. There will be an end to what we see right now. There is something beyond this situation. And the amazing truth is that God says it's going to be good. And he says this in Romans 8, 28, which is a very famous verse. And we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So there is an end, and it is going to be good. And that's not optimism, that's biblical. He works everything together for the good of those who love him. So we also need to remember in the dark periods that there is an end to this crisis. But what happens in the tunnel? Sorry, that's the picture of the boat. What happens in this tunnel is that suddenly there comes a little light. And it's the actual, when the in Thackeray Tunnel, there's a bend and you turn round that bend and suddenly you see a small white hemicircle. It's almost a shock when you first see it. It orientates everything. You suddenly think, oh, I can see the end. I can see now the train is now moving to the right a bit. And that half moon shape suddenly becomes a bit bigger and it grows. And your mood lifts as you're going through the tunnel, as you start to see the track again and the light from outside coming towards you. Your hope rises, your mood rises, and we can see the end. And I just want to finish on that Jesus brings hope. And how does he bring hope to us through these times? And one of the major truths is that we are part of a bigger story, God's story. God's story is way bigger than the crisis in your mind and my mind as we face this. God's story is way bigger than the current corona crisis. We are actually being added into his story. And it is so important to remember that truth, that we are part of a bigger narrative, a bigger story. And also God says this to us, which gives us hope. He says this. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's interesting, that last bit, just an aside, that a fullness of heart is when we approach him without our own faith, depending on our own control. It's when we've totally handed everything over to him. However, what this says is God has a plan. I love people who have plans. Francis always laughs because I'm always a person that says, if I have a plan, I'm happy. Well, this bit, I'm really up for it because I love a plan. God has a plan and a purpose for King's House Perth. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He has a plan and a purpose. He's not being caught out by this. And he declares that, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, but they're good things, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. It's amazing, isn't it, that you know that God, that when you see that light at the end of the tunnel, you start to rise, but it's also recognizing he has a plan. Just to say one thing, this is his plans. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They're not our plans that God gets added into. There's a real danger in our Christian walk is we just add God into our plans. This is actually us joining into his plan for us. We are his workmanship made for good works. so important we get our understanding right. There's a real danger. We just think God's going to come along and he's going to sort out and help me in my little world. No, it's actually we join his world. The disciples constantly argued and misunderstood this, that this is, it's not about them, it is about him. But God adds us into his agenda, and their plans that are good. And I'll finish with this. Mark 4 ends with them getting to the other side of the lake, and they get out of the boat. But what happens next? The story of the storm on the lake is the prelude to an amazing healing of a demonic possessed man who had absolutely, everyone had failed to help for decades. And Jesus walked out of that boat and healed that man. It's the story of the pigs, if you remember the legion. It's not a mild healing. That is a massive healing. It was a complete restoration of a demon-possessed man. And it shocked people. And that's what happened next. It was a critical miracle in Jesus's ministry. Also, if you look at Jesus's time in the desert, the 40 days in the desert, that was a prelude to an amazing outpouring of the supernatural and ministry in Jesus's ministry. Our faith looks forward, and it looks forward to the next, the future, and it brings that future and next to now. God is always bringing ways of salvation. And are we looking forward to seeing salvations, seeing breakthroughs? Are we looking and seeing what God is doing, looking ahead? We have a hope that is amazing. It's strong, but it looks forward, and it does say, what's next? What is God going to be doing in this nation? What is God going to be doing in King's House of Perth? What is God going to do through me as we come out of the tunnel? That's what we should be thinking.